Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here. I've got Jeremy Dayton at the network. We're live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Here's the lineup. Coming up in just a moment, Nan Su, senior investigative reporter for the Epic Times. All right. Judd Garrett will be here, former NFL player, with his latest leeches. And Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, his take on Fetterman-Oz debate. All right. You know, there are a number of questions right now that are surrounding China's trade and security. And with ex Jinping sworn in for a third term for the country, these will likely continue to rise. The leader himself, self-appointed himself another term as leader of the ruling Communist Party over the past weekend. With his latest term, he vows to invest more on the country's technology and military development, as well as working to assure that Beijing's core interests are protected, though he didn't divulge details as to how. But with that comes concerns about how China will continue to create tensions when it comes to trade circles, especially with Jinping's currently standing zero COVID strategy, which has left a number of business and partners in sheer frustration, not to mention those in Washington who believe that China has set out to bend the rules with global security and economics. Well, here to discuss Jinping's latest term in office is Nan Su, who serves as senior correspondent for the Epic Times. He's been talking about Xi Jinping's actions for some time now and continues to discuss the effects from his third term regularly. His expertise, I am sure, will prove useful in this subject. Hey, Nan Su, welcome. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Charles. Thank you for having me.
I thank you for being here. Quickly, lots of questions here. How would you sum up Xi Jinping's placement as leader of the ruling Communist Party so far? Would you say more good than harm has come from it, or maybe is it the other way around?
Well, I think it's totally not the way that the entire Western world been expecting to see. Now, the Western world heavily invested in China ever since China joined WTO 2001. Now, from 2001 to 2021, China's economy grew 10 times. Now, the China's economy is 10 times more than 10 times of Russia's economy. So Russia's economy is just like, like China's economy 20 years ago right now. However, you know, what the Western world expecting to see that China to become more and more democratic has not happened. And this 20th Congress of CCP last week really point out that Xi Jinping is not going to make any further political reform. He's going to have a tighter and tighter control of the one-party control system, and also they start talking about how they are going to limit the wealth accumulation in China. So those people already make rich in the last 20 years, as well as the foreign investors have enough reason to worry about how they're going to deal with rich people in the following years. Maybe decades to come, because it seems like he's going to be there forever. He's on his way to become next Chairman Mao. That's one on the economic side. On the security side, Xi Jinping, in his opening speech of 20th CCP Congress, as well as in the new charter statement of Chinese Communist Party, they made a revision in the charter statement of Communist Party, and both they make a more aggressive approach to unify Taiwan right now. So that would be, you know, it's a much more clear threat now.
Yeah, all he has to say is, "Here I am again." That's it. I'm here again. How much uneasiness surrounds this third term as a leader? Now, there's already a lot of disruption surrounding China's trade circles. Do you believe that this simply makes matters worse?
Well, it seems like he is he's going in the direction of more and more opposition against the United States.
Yeah.
And China is preparing for that. And it has been in the last few years because China now heavily invest in not like the olden days, like heavily trying to increase the trade and trying to get more shares of U.S. market as well as the Western world's market. Now, ever since like 5 or 6 years ago, China has turned around. So right now, the biggest trading partner of China is the Southeast Asia nations. Uh-huh. There's an association called Asian Nations. It's a Southeast Association of Southeast Asian Nations. This is the number one trading partner of China right now, already superseding EU, and United States is number three. So now China's expansion right now is really aiming to the Southeast Asian nations, and of course Taiwan is nearby, and also those countries in the Africa, in the South America, those resource-rich countries. So they are, you know, they are looking really, you can see that the way they expand is really looking for the opportunities to challenge the global leadership of the United States.
Yeah. Let me get to another question here. She also believes in relying more on technology and a faster military development. I mean, boy, they're passing like our Navy, for example. Is this simply trying to show the world the strength China has, or do you think it's there's another initiative maybe that he has in mind?
Well, Xi Jinping clearly understands technology is the future. So if he wants to challenge the global leadership of the United States, and that's the way they're going to go. Now, specifically, China has a strategy, a technological strategy that's that for China to control the countries that joining China's camp. North Korea is the typical example. China helped North Korea build the entire internet system. Now, China's internet system, you know, their technology always comes with a backdoor. So, you know, if they build an internet system, information system for this country, they know everything. There's no secret to them. So that's, you know, to use the economic infiltration to get into these developing countries and then use the technology to control this country, it clearly has been China's strategy and approach for their global expansion.
Yeah, you know, boy, I think I could speak with you for about 30 minutes. There's so many questions here that I'd like to really get into. Let me ask you, because this is a lot of things that are on people's minds, do you believe that in a few years' time there may be nothing stopping Xi from going for a fourth term as a leader, or does it depend upon how the next few years go? Is he going to be here forever?
No, I don't think there will be anything that it as a condition nowadays, because in the this 20th CCP Congress, they elected the top organization of CCP. That's the Political Bureau. It's a 24-member Political Bureau, and inside the 24-member Political Bureau, there is a standing committee of 7 members. That's really the top leadership circle of CCP. So right now, in that standing committee, besides Chairman Xi himself, all other 6 members were handpicked by Xi. So they are there to really to execute whatever Xi wants them to do. So Xi Jinping has a clear and absolute power right now, control the CCP. I don't see any change before his fourth term, and I think he is on his way to become next Chairman Mao.
Ah, Now, there's word that under this third term, that Xi will push forward with his initiative to take over Taiwan with military forces. What do you believe will come of this?
Well, he already make a military personnel arrangement. Right now, in the Chinese Central Military Committee, there's two vice chairmen. Xi himself is the chairman of a Central Military Committee. And the two vice chairmen right now are both of them have the expertise of invade Taiwan, this is really a clear signal that they want to take Taiwan. Now a lot of people don't understand why China want to take Taiwan. Most people think that they want to control the technology, though that's actually a small reason, not a major reason. Now, China, we are behind on the curve. Okay, China is ahead of us. So they are thinking their next target, that's Japan, right? Because if China controls Taiwan, with the few man-made islands they already built in the South China Sea in the last 8 years, they will have a full control of the South China Sea. And once they have that, they pretty much threaten the economic lifeline of Japan, because Japan is an island nation. One-third of the economy depends on foreign trade, and most of the foreign trade will transpass through South China Sea. So they are one step ahead. They are really, have this global strategy of challenging United States leadership.
Wow. I'm telling you, you're on it, Nansu. Japan. Boy, first time that has popped up in any of these conversations that I've had. Very little time left. There's been a great deal of discussion regarding private wealth accumulation. What will Xi do in regards to the wealthy in China? Could this have an effect on foreign investments?
Well, foreign investments, as well as the rich Chinese people who got rich in the last 40 years after Cultural Revolution. Xi Jinping is going, they are more and more in the direction going back to the central plan economy, the communist economy right now. So it will be interesting to see in the next few years how these people who already got rich, in the last few decades, how the CCP is going to deal with them.
Well, I'm going to tell you, like I said, almost out of time, and I wish we had time to get into the coronavirus subject, because I know you've done a lot of research on that. And where can we learn more about you and see your work on the Epic Times? How do they get in touch with the Epic Times?
Yeah, go to I Read the Epoch. I just one word. I Read the Epoch. EPOCH. Some of people pronounce it as an epic. Some of them, pronounce it as an epoch. It's just really depending on. It's just difference. It's just the Canadian way or American way to pronounce them. So epoch or epic. I Read the Epic or I Read the Epoch. Just type in, then you're going to see all of our work.
Fantastic. I Read Epoch Times, theepochtimes.com. Thank you very much, Nansu. We'll have to do this again, sir. Appreciate it. Thank you. All right, coming up next, the one and only Judd Garrett.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
What are you so happy about?
I'm on the pill.
Aren't you two a bit old to worry about having more kids?
Not her. Me.
You lost me there, buddy.
Steel Man pills. Things weren't always looking up, if you catch my drift. So, my doctor prescribed me a little something.
Like Viagra?
Yeah, but that's expensive, and it wasn't covered by my insurance. Steel Man pills cost me less than $3 a pill, and virtually the same effect. I just called and got over 40 pills for only $99.
I have this friend who might be looking, and...
Well, if your friend wants some help, the consultation is free over the phone. No clinic. Steel Man pills sends it in the mail in a confidential package.
I'm on it. I mean, my friend will be on it.
Steel Man pills, going the extra mile to help men with erectile dysfunction.
800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. That's 800-605-1683.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Ka'anapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Ka'anapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit ka'anapaliresort.com. That's K-A-A-N-A-P-A-L-I-Resort.com.
Everybody's talking at me. Chuck Wilder, CRN, and once again, a great privilege to introduce Mr. Judd Garrett, former National Football League player, coach, executive. He is a frequent contributor to the website Real Clear Politics. Recently wrote his first novel, Know When. That's a book on fiction. And Judd's blog, okay, you need to remember this because this guy is one of the greatest writers I've ever run across. Objectivityistheobjective.com. Objectivityistheobjective.com. Welcome, Judd. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Very good. And I'm going to tell you something. You know, I keep bragging on all of these great articles you write. And this one, you know, there's this old adage, I guess, it's history repeats itself, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you look at what's going on in our medical community, you're absolutely right. History does repeat itself in some cases.
Well, let me tell the listener, this latest one, the title, Leeches. Let us go back to ancient Egyptians. And boy, I wish I could just let you run with this, but I wouldn't be a very good host if I didn't interrupt you. But man, this is something else. Take it away, okay? You got about 4 minutes before I have to interrupt you for a break.
Yeah, I mean, if you look back in the history of human civilization, starting with the ancient Egyptians, you know, they used leeches to treat a lot of their physical ailments, and they believed that, you know, evil spirits had gotten into the blood, and they needed the leeches to suck out the blood and cure them of the evil spirits. And you go to the Greeks with Hippocrates, who was considered the father of Western medicine. He talked about, you know, the 4 internal humors of a person, and they become misaligned, and blood is one of the internal humors. So they advocated using leeches to suck out the blood of people who were sick. All throughout the Middle Ages, leeches were used to draw out blood of of sick patients. And even as recently as the 19th century, there's a thing called leech mania swept through Europe and America, and people were actually using leeches, 100, 150 years ago to treat some of their ailments. And
it was called the practice of bloodletting, right? The practice of bloodletting.
Yeah, the bloodletting, to let the blood out, and they use leeches. And, barbers were originally medical practitioners. So if you ever wonder why the barber pole is white and red striped, it's because it's letting people know that they do bloodletting at their establishment. So there's a history of using leeches. And, obviously we look back on that time and, it was very barbaric way of treating people. And as we look at other times in human history,
right,
again, thousands of years ago, when someone had a mental illness, some cultures would actually drill a hole into the person's head, again, to let out the evil spirits and help the person heal. And a lot of these types of barbaric medical practices were being used by human beings.
Wow. And I'm going to tell you something, listener. I always tell you it's an excellent report, and wait until we get to today, all right? Yeah, 70 years ago, you say the smartest minds believed that the best way to treat mental illness was to shoot about 110 volts of electricity into the brain. Now, I've been accused of going to one of those doctors, but that is not true, all right? But basically, it was to shock the brain back into alignment. Can you believe that? And we are talking about doctors. Yo, how would doctors ever get that bad? You're saying many times if that didn't work, then the doctors resorted to lobotomy. Does that ring a bell with you, listeners? Wow.
Yeah, I mean,
lobotomy go ahead, explain that one, would you?
Well, first of all, they had the electroshock therapy, which they thought that if they shocked the brain, it would come back into alignment somehow. And then if that didn't work, they used the lobotomy, where they cut out, part of the frontal lobe of the patient, and basically, in many cases, would turn them into, put them into a vegetative state. So, again, that was all happening in the 20th century, in the 1940s and 1950s. We're not talking 300 or 400 years ago. We're talking about, recent times that this type of medical practice was going on.
All right. And just imagine, listener, what would happen if you were one of those people that stuttered? Oh, it gets worser and worser. Judd Garrett, Objectivity is the Objective.com. We're going to be back with more, and this one is a winner, as all of them are, Judd. We'll be right back.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
A long-suffering, perpetually enraged 5,000-year-old demigod from the ancient Near East is drawn into our modern world to free his people from foreign domination. But as played by Dwayne Johnson, Black Adam seems not to enjoy the process in the new movie based on the DC Comics.
My son sacrificed his life to save me. These powers are not a gift, but a curse. I kneel before no one.
The plot is almost impossible to follow, but the characters are intriguing and occasionally amusing. You can't avoid the impression, however, that the entire thing is just a setup for future installments of what they hope will be an extended franchise. Rated PG-13 for plenty of burning action and comic book violence. 2 stars for the adequate but hardly outstanding Black Adam.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of two neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Ka'anapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Ka'anapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit ka'anapaliresort.com. That's K-A-A-N-A-P-A-L-I-Resort.com.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder, CRN, with my guest Judd Garrett, talking about his latest leeches. So now we've gone from leeches to hemiglossectomy, I guess would be the word. And what is that for, hemiglossectomy?
Yeah, this is back in the 18th and 19th century, that when certain people had a stutter, they would cut out part of their tongue in order to deal with, you know, with their stuttering issues. So, you know, if you look at the history of medicine, you know, whether it's using leeches or drilling holes into people's heads or shooting electricity through their brain or cutting out half their brain or cutting out half their tongue, you know, those brutal practices at the time were considered normal mainstream medical procedures that were supposed to address, you know, an issue that the person had.
And didn't they use the expression quack, like a lot of these doctors, and they were, what was it, quack, or even monsters for doing all of this stuff, and how barbaric were? Yeah.
Yeah, when we look back on it, you know, we mm-hmm. see that someone who says, you know, let's cut off someone's tongue because they stutter, we see that person as a quack. They weren't necessarily seen as quacks during the time that they were doing this. They were seen as smart medical doctors.
So then we can flash forward, and thank goodness we got out of that, didn't we, Judd? Or, wait a minute, did we get out of this? And how would the eyes of history view some of the medical practices of our time?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I bring up abortion. You know, 100 or 200 years from now, how will those people look back on this time in history and view abortion? You know, basically an abortion is sucking out a baby out of a woman's womb. And many times it's dismembering the baby and discarding the baby, you know, 10 weeks along, 15 weeks along, 20 weeks along. You know, they even have, you know, the partial birth abortion where the baby's almost full term and they partially birth the baby in order to kill it. So this is what's going on in our country. This is going on in the world. And I just wonder, how will people 200 years from now look back on this time? Will they see us the same way we look at the person who's drilling a hole into someone's head because they have a mental illness?
Yeah. And you state, you know, trained doctors and nurses standing there idle as a little baby fights for his life, offering no help to the baby as she gasps her final breath. Will history be kind to those people? Because we're not really being kind to those that were sucking the blood out of, you know, or cutting off tongues. Go ahead.
I mean, that's what happens a lot. There are mm-hmm. occasions where a baby will survive an abortion, and there's a lot of hospitals and abortion clinics that when that happens, they don't try to help the baby. The baby's trying to live. The baby's gasping for air. And they just allow the baby to die without offering any medical procedure or medical help. And to me, again, how will the eyes of history look back yeah. on this time and judge us that we are doing this and allowing it to happen?
You know, and then you mentioned also that, you know, there's countries in Africa and the Middle East where they've got a big problem over there too. You're wondering how people are going to look at it 100 years from now.
Yeah, there's you know, certain countries, certain cultures in Africa and the Middle East, they do female genital mutilation on girls, the young girls, and it's not just the men who are doing it. The women, the grown women are involved in the practice too, and you know they cut out part of the genitalia of young girls, and supposedly it promotes, you know, virginity and fidelity and all that. We in the West, we look at that and we see that as barbaric. We see that as, you know, just, you know, a brutal practice that they're forcing on these kids. And, you know, but if you look at the Western world where yes. transgenderism is taking over, and even transgenderism in young kids is being, you know, young kids are being indoctrinated in school. You know, what we are doing to these transgender people is essentially the same thing. We're removing penises, we're removing breasts, we're giving young girls hysterectomies, we're doing all that. And to me, that is just as brutal as female genital mutilation.
Yeah. You said, and the ancient doctors were not performing these procedures, you know, the ones that we've been talking about, because they enjoyed doing them or because they were evil. They believed that they had discovered, you know, the great discovery in medicine. This is going to do this and blah, blah, blah. And then you've got terms now like gender identity disorder, gender dysphoria. It's like, did they just make those up? Did they sound fancy? Is that where we've gotten?
Yeah, what happens in medicine a lot, or in all science, if you can put a name on something, then you can say, okay, we've named it, so now we can treat it. So, yeah. I mean, the terms gender identity disorder, gender dysphoria, you know, they weren't around, say, 20 years ago. That's only a new, those are only new terms, you know, recently coming into, you know, our language. And mm-hmm. and now that, you know, they'll label somebody, they have gender dysphoria or gender identity disorder, then they can, you know, put these brutal procedures on them and start giving them all these hormones and all this major surgery, which changes their body dramatically, and it's irreversible. So once they're able to name it, they can say, now we can treat it, and it gives them justification right. to treat it.
And now, you know, listener, the thing, this might be the one sentence that really explains all of this. As Jess says, the ancients believed that they were releasing the evil spirits or balancing the internal humors of the patient. And transgender surgeons, all right, they believe they're using a surgical procedure to basically get the spirit realigned with the body. You know, the little girl says, I think I'm a boy, you know. That's what they're telling me, all my little kids in school that I go with, and a teacher, she says, yeah, you know, or maybe the boy is saying I'm a little girl. So now, isn't it wonderful how we've come so far after all these years that now it can be realigned, so to speak. Get the spirits out of your own body these days. Wow.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening, and it really does echo the rationale and the justification of all those barbaric procedures of the past. You know, like you were saying, you know, that releasing the evil spirits or balancing the internal humors, you know, when you hear people talk about, you know, transgenderism or gender identity disorder, they say there's a misalignment between the spirit and the body, and these procedures are going to get them back in alignment. Well, that's exactly the same thing that, you know, the ancient Egyptians and the ancient Greeks were saying when they were doing all this barbaric stuff to people. So it's the same thought process. It's the same type of ideology that they're imposing. But the problem is it's happening in the 21st century where we should know better, not, you know, 3,000 years ago when they didn't know a whole lot.
And if you think about it, listener, look at the big push against religion right now, especially, you know. It's even, you know, they're saying it's evil spirits if you're carrying around a rosary or something, like if you're a Catholic. And if you don't have religion, then a lot of this is very easy for you to accept. But then it's the old thing, and I didn't make it up, but it's very profound, is the fact that they're fighting religion, and then there's this saying that whenever you don't, you were born a boy, but now you've been convinced you're a girl, or vice versa, that God doesn't make mistakes. So whatever you're born, that's what you are. But, you know, they've got to fight religion to kind of disbelieve all that, I guess. I don't know, but...
Yeah, go ahead. They have to remove religion and belief in God from our society in order to impose this stuff on the people. And if you really believe in God and you really believe in the teachings of Christianity, you will immediately reject all this New Age, you know, ideology and New Age, you know, medical care, because you'll see it for what it is. And it's just the imposition of a certain far left ideology on the people.
And is there any money in this for these doctors? Is this becoming a really good lollipop for them, so to speak?
Well, yeah, there was, you know, the Vanderbilt Medical School, you know, which is big in performing all these transgender surgeries, not just on adults, but they're also doing it on children. It came out that, you know, one of the doctors who were, you know, high up at Vanderbilt was saying that basically we need to promote this as much as possible because there's a lot of money to be had in this, and it was caught on video, and you know it's been very embarrassing for Vanderbilt, but you know that doctor, you know, she spoke the quiet part out loud, and everybody heard it, is that, you know, they're not necessarily doing this because they think it's what's best for people. They're doing it because they can make a whole lot of money. And if you really do the research, you know, a lot of these people, you know, for all the type of care to transition from one gender to the other, it's going to cost them up to about $100,000, whether they're paying for it out of pocket or whether insurance companies come up with that money or not. It's all elective surgery, and you know, it's $100,000 for these medical professionals to receive to get people to do this stuff.
Yeah, and in some schools, they're doing it without the parents' knowledge. That is one of those I cannot even figure out how in the world that happened, that you could start giving them, you know, the those pills for blockers or whatever they're called, you know, and then eventually you're going to convince the child that you're going to need surgery and all this stuff, and it's nothing transformed to the parents to let them know what's going on. It's just unbelievable.
You know, as a father of six, I've experienced this a lot in that, you know, whenever a doctor or even a school nurse was ever going to do anything to any of my kids, you know, either me or my wife had to come and approve it. They just couldn't do anything unilaterally without our approval. The only two things that the schools or doctors can do without the parents' approval is an abortion for a minor and transition for a minor. They can keep the parents out of those discussions all the time. Every other medical procedure, even giving a child is something as tame as a Tylenol, had to be approved by the parents. Yeah. But when it comes to transitioning a kid or an abortion, the parents can be cut out of the loop. And that's absolutely crazy.
You know, and I wish we had time to get into another one you just recently did. It was entitled Syntax. A very interesting. You always write these fantastic reports there, Judd. I'm telling you. And I read this one and I said, which one do I go with? You know, hey, leeches or Syntax? And leeches really told the story. But Syntax, you got to go to the website, objectivityistheobjective.com, and check out the one on Syntax. It's S-I-N, okay? 1990s, Bill Clinton introduced the concept of a syntax. A goal of a syntax is simply to change the behavior of people through taxation systems. And I'm going to tell you, it has gotten so carried away on it. They've always got an excuse that what you do is you tax something, and then that makes them so that they're no longer going to be able to afford to do it, or they cut down on it. Obama, I guess, was the one that decided to do it on cigarettes, right? This was going to get everybody to stop smoking. The reauthorization helped.
Clinton first proposed it in the 90s, and it didn't pass. But he talked about the syntax, and he wanted to control people's behavior through the taxation. And then Obama, when he took office in 2009, he was able to push that through and increase the taxation on cigarettes, again, to try to dissuade people from smoking. And then that same Congress in 2009, you know, they put increased taxes on soda and on alcohol, and they also talked about,
and it's going to get
taxing.
You to stop, see? From cigarettes, 39 cents a pack, they went up to $1.01 per tax. And is anything ringing a bell with you there, listener, about what's going on right now? Are you buying gasoline? Is it going up? Are they trying to get you to stop driving your cars? Boy, I'm telling you, syntax. That's got to be one, too. We'll cover about a couple of minutes on this after we come back from this award-winning break. So many great stories always coming out. I just brag on this guy all the time. Judd Garrett. Yeah, he was a great football player, wasn't he? He was a great coach, right? Yeah, great executive, yeah. Well, he was all those things, but he also is a fantastic writer. And I'm just, I know, you get tired of hearing it, right? Never. Okay, Judd Garrett, former NFL player, coach, executive, frequent contributor to the website Real Clear Pollux, and his first novel, No Wind, W-I-N-D, available at Amazon.com. And to the website again, objectivityistheobjective.com. Be right back.
When you really want Italian food, you have got to get to Colombo's. Colombo's Italian Steakhouse and Jazz Club. Colorado Boulevard, Eagle Rock. It's that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Today, it seems so hard to enjoy just a little bit of easy. So much of life seems to get in the way. But fear not, seekers of fabulous food and fun and thrill. Columbo's is Southern California's answer to Easy Street. Great grub with some of the finest steaks, the freshest fish awaiting for you to devour. Did I mention Columbo's family Italian recipes? Columbo's spaghetti bolognese, their chicken pesto ravioli, magnifico, and of course, the world's greatest meatballs. I can go on. But why go on when you can go on over to Columbo's and experience delicious and easy for yourself. Columbo's, of course, that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Columbo's, mind you been.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100, and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. That's 800-353-1760.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Chuck Wilder with Judd Garrett and talking about another one of his latest syntax. And in the article, he says, driving a car with an internal combustion engine is now seen as a sin. So they have to tax that. A sin to point it out because it's become so unaffordable that people will be forced to choose another type of vehicle. But here's one that'll get you in the same article. And this was a quote from Stacey Abrams. And as you said, a thing that she said, the quite thing out loud last week. Do you have that in front of you there by any chance? Well, you have it memorized, I know. This is unbelievable.
Yeah, she was asked about, you know, the high gas prices. She was asked about the inflation, which a lot of Americans are worried about and complaining about. And she pivoted to abortion. And she said, abortion is an economic issue. Having children is why you're worried about your price for gas. It's why you're concerned about how much food costs. So basically, she's saying, if you're worried about high gas prices and high inflation, stop having kids. So essentially, you know, was this done on purpose? Did they drive up the price of gas on purpose, not only to get people to drive electric cars, but to get people to stop having kids or to choose to have an abortion, you know, if they are pregnant? So are they trying to control people's behavior by manipulating the price of the products that we need?
And another example, and it is amazing how all this stuff just connects together, unfortunately. 2019, name brand baby formula cost anywhere from 9 cents per ounce to 32% an ounce. And by 2022, the price of name brand baby formula had soared to a range of 54 cents to $1.15, went from like 9 cents to $1.15 per ounce. Does that say you don't need it if you don't have a baby, right? Right. And then they shut down the baby formula plant in Michigan for, what was it, over a year, I think.
Yeah, they shut it down, and then they did nothing for months on end to, you know, if you shut down the plant, you know that there's going to be a reduced supply of baby formula, and they did nothing to help promote the production of baby formula in other plants. And when Biden did bring in some baby formula from overseas, he didn't give it to the American citizens. He gave it to illegal immigrant mothers who were sneaking into our country. So that's how much Biden thinks about us, our kids, our families, is that he's going to give the baby formula that we need to the illegal immigrants and not to the American families.
And I'll tell you, Judd, because I search so many search engines for news stories and things like that, and I watch a lot of TV shows and stuff, but whenever they shipped all that baby formula to the border and people couldn't get it, it was one of the most hidden secrets of what the Biden administration had done, or whoever's pulling the strings for Biden. You talk about censorship. It was unbelievable how that story was not getting out like it should have. People were almost thinking, I think I heard somebody made that up or whatever. Yeah, nope, absolutely true.
That's how they're able to get away with everything they're doing, is that the media or the mainstream media is complicit with it.
Well, thank goodness we have writers like you still out there. Judd Garrett, his novel is No Wind, available at Amazon.com, and I really, really, really suggest you go to his website, objectivityistheobjective.com. Look forward to our next visit, sir. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Judd Garrett, G-A-R-R-E-T-T. Well, Selwyn Duke is coming up, and he's going to have his take on the Fetterman-Oz debate, and, of course, some more great reports. Selwyn Duke. CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here, Jeremy Dayton at the network, and we're live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Hey, when next we meet, Michael Cutler going to have his latest, he's a retired senior special agent of the former INS, Frank Savato, host of Underground USA, his latest, which is entitled Elections Can't Continue Being About the R or the D. All right, so there you go. Right now, it's time for Mr. Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American. Selwyn has also contributed to college textbooks published by Gail Cenege Learning. Cenege Learning, that's C-E-N-G-A-G-E, got it, all right. He appears on many television and a frequent guest on radio shows. His website is selwynduke.com. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here comes the Duke.
Duke, Duke, Duke of Earl, Duke, Duke, Duke of Earl, Duke, Duke, Duke of Earl, Duke, Duke, Duke of Earl,
Duke, Duke, Duke of Earl,
Duke, Duke of Earl, Duke, Duke of Earl.
Hey, thank you, Jeremy. Thank you very much there. How are you, Selwyn? How are you?
Hi, and good night, Chuck.
Yes, isn't that,
you know, get that one,
that.
Right?
You just stole my intro there. For you were going to say, how you doing? I was going to say, good night. Thank you.
Sorry about that, Chuck, if I took the wind out of your sails there.
No, I'm glad you did it much better than I could. Wow, that tells you right there, this is going to be interesting. maybe those rumors we heard about Fetterman were true. You know, you could just imagine stuff going on. And then they blame it on, of course, the you know, he had to have the closed caption things, and like they weren't loaded up or he couldn't see them. Boy. And they put it off, Selwyn. And an excellent report from you, Pennsylvania Senate debate was the Land of Oz. And the worst thing, listener, you're going to find out is the fact that there was a heck of a lot of votes already published before they finally revealed the real Fetterman, I guess you could say, right?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, of course, Chuck, we're talking about that debate they had Tuesday night in Pennsylvania between the two Senate contenders there, Mehmet Oz, the Republican, Dr. Oz, as people know him, and John Fetterman. He's the Democrat. And anyway, Fetterman has been a little bit ahead in the polls all the way through or for a very, very long time. But recently, Oz has been closing the gap. But this debate was something else, and now everyone can see why the Democrats wanted to wait until this late time to have this debate, because the remarks have been unbelievable. I mean, I quoted some media entities here. One said Fetterman gave, quote, the worst debate performance in history, and was one so bad, Chuck, that it was, according to Sky News, that's an Australian outfit, the, quote, worst televised debate between two politicians that has ever happened, unquote, in the history of the world. That's what they were saying, and they're absolutely right. And the problem, as I put it in my article, Chuck, is that Fetterman is a fettered man. He's shackled by severe cognitive difficulties because he had a stroke in May. And I understand we don't want to see anyone have health problems. I mean, health is a blessing. I understand that as much as anyone else. But the bottom line is that Fetterman hasn't exactly been honest about his health woes. In fact, his doctor, who also happens to be a campaign donor, a little conflict of interest there, claimed that Fetterman was recovering well and was capable of discharging his duties. But this is what we were alluding to with my opening line today. This was belied with the very first line in Fetterman's debate, where he said, hi, good night, everybody. And the man has trouble understanding what's said to him. It has to be put on a teleprompter. He has to read it. And then he has trouble composing his thoughts. He has trouble articulating himself to a degree that is just absolutely staggering. I mean, the debate did not get any better from that point forward.
The very opening was like, wow. And then when he started to talk about fracking, that one really jumps out at you, you know? It's like a guy got caught cheating on his wife or something, you know? Stutter back and forth, and you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. I mean, you would have to watch that answer. That just epitomizes the whole debate. He said not that long ago that he was adamantly against fracking, and then he denied that in the debate, and the moderator, to her credit, pointed out exactly what he had said, and he had nothing to say about it. He just said, I'm for fracking, stuttering, I'm for fracking.
Yeah.
He
and
couldn't
I think
even
one time
lie
there,
effectively.
He might have even said no fracking or something in the middle of I'm for, but it's let me ask you this, because I didn't know that much about the guy, and I could have, you know, just Googled, you know, the whole thing. But he had a pretty good career going on before he had that stroke, right?
Yeah. Well, he's been a politician, but the truth is that he hasn't done much in his life aside from that.
And oh, really? Okay.
Being in politics doesn't necessarily recommend you very highly. I mean, this is a man who's been living off his parents, and I understand he didn't pay his taxes, so he certainly hasn't been living a responsible lifestyle. And viewers who saw this debate were shocked. And why were they shocked, Chuck? Because the media have been carrying water for Fetterman and covering up the truth. I mean, I quoted one fellow who said it's absolutely astonishing that this man is a Senate candidate in any state. And the truth is the media are still carrying water for him. I put a couple of headlines in my article. I mean, Bloomberg wrote, Fetterman's uneven debate gives Oz traction. And then you had the Baltimore Sun. Pennsylvania Democrat John Fetterman's rocky debate. That's how they described it. So uneven and rocky. And as I said, well, I think we have here candidates for Euphemism of the Year award. I mean, you'd have to see the debate to understand how ridiculous that was. And Fetterman had his own spin, as you said at the opening. Now, he didn't exactly say, Chuck, that his dog ate his debate preparation, but he did claim, his campaign claimed, that, quote, the closed captioning system used to assist Fetterman was slow and full of errors, okay? And then Fox News wrote, the debate host denied those claims, and I'm sure it's pure and utter nonsense. And I think you have something my mother used to say many, many times. She used to say, a bad worker blames his tools. That's an old saying. But Anyway, you know what really amazes me, Chuck, as much as anything else? That Fetterman's team allowed him to go out there and debate. I mean, I'm not in his camp, but if I were, I never would have allowed that to happen. He was a little ahead in the polls. And yes, yeah, not debating is a liability, but a greater liability is going out there and showing the whole world that you're severely cognitively compromised. I mean, in Arizona, Katie Hobbs, she's running against Carrie Lake for the gubernatorial race there. Anyway, she's refused to debate Lake. She's been dodging her. And yeah, that's a problem, but we know why. Hobbs knows that she can't hold a candle to Lake. Well, but Hobbs at least is normal cognitively. She may not be that smart, and she may be morally and ideologically compromised, but cognitively she's normal. So I would never have let Fetterman debate. I just find that unfathomable that they put him out there, just unbelievable. And we can see that the proof is in the pudding, because there was this Fox News voter panel that I was watching. It was on the story with Martha McCallum, Chuck. And it was only five people, but nonetheless, I think it was quite telling. Now, you had one there who was a staunch Republican, one who was a staunch Democrat. They were going with their parties no matter what. But you had three undecideds, two of whom were libertarians. And after watching the debate, they all were decidedly leaning towards Oz, because these were people who didn't know the kind of bad shape that Fetterman was in. And,
you know, yeah.
Chuck, yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. You go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, we all know that if a Republican had this kind of cognitive difficulty, the media would be all over it. There would be no undecided voters, because the media would be playing embarrassing clips over and over and over again. And understand, I want the listener to realize this. Fetterman has been exhibiting these problems on the campaign trail all along. Okay, he's been giving speeches. He obviously has severe problems, but the media have been covering for him. And you know how egregious the double standard is here? I mean, the media wanted President Trump removed via the 25th Amendment because they believe that he was mentally impaired or mentally unstable, and Trump, we know, is lively and lucid. They claimed President G.W. Bush was too stupid to be president because he wasn't the best speaker. He'd mangle syllables sometimes.
Right.
Then you had Dan Quayle going back to the 90s, a very intelligent man, by the way. He was discredited, and his political career was ended because he spelled potato with an E at the end of it during an appearance at a school. And by the way, he was given a cue card with potato spelled that way. And the New York Times had spelled it that way as recently as 1988. And then now, fast forward to today, we have Herschel Walker down in Georgia. The left is mocking him because they're claiming he's not that smart. Well, guess what? At least he's normal. He can function. I mean, the left has no business complaining about this ever again if they're supporting Fetterman. But
Kept saying, no, he's not going to debate, he's not going to debate, we're not going to let him debate, we're not going to let him debate, you know, and da-da-da-da-da. And unfortunately, for Oz, you know, they had pre-voting before he ever did this debate, and I guess he was actually ahead in the poll, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, this is the thing. I mean, what we saw in that focus group from Fox that I just mentioned is now reflected in the polls, because like I said, Fetterman had been ahead all along, but after the debate, another poll was released, and guess what? Oz was ahead by 3 points. So in the previous polls, he was behind by 2 points. That means, if that's accurate, that's a 5-point swing just based on that debate alone. Now, really, it should be a 20-point swing, but you know how people are. And also, the polls tend to be biased. There was more research recently, you and I discussed this a while back, indicating that Republicans in general are under-polling by about 5 points. So if that's accurate, that means Oz is probably ahead by 8 points. But we'll see what happens November 8th. But it's interesting because Oz, of course, did not make mention of Fetterman's cognitive difficulties during the debate. You weren't going to do that. And I was reading a headline that not just Democrats, but many Republicans find sympathy, quote unquote, for Fetterman. But I have to say, Chuck, call me a bad guy. I'm not in that camp. And I'll tell you why I really don't have too much sympathy for the man. Okay. After his stroke, he supposedly released a statement, probably composed by someone else, in which he said, "The amazing doctors here were able to quickly and completely remove the clot, reversing the stroke. The good news is I'm feeling much better, and the doctors tell me I didn't suffer any cognitive damage. I'm well on my way to a full recovery." unquote. Now, obviously, that was a lie. And even CNN admitted that Fetterman has told two different stories about his health, because in a later statement, he said that he'd ignored his health and consequently he, quote, almost died. Okay, so he was lying, or his camp was lying in that first statement. And here's the thing. Unlike Joe Biden, who has dementia and really doesn't know what reality is, you have to think Fetterman realizes he's impaired, okay? He could have put his state, country, and party first and withdrawn from the race in May and said, look, I'm just not up to it and I have to focus on my health. But he didn't do that, okay? He put personal ambition first, and that's why I can't find too much sympathy for the man. I can't at all, aside from the fact that he's always been a left-wing loon. But I think we're heading for a break, so I'll leave it there.
Well, yeah, we got about 30 seconds or 40. It's sort of like, you know, you can be told a train's coming, it's going to hit you, and you can ignore it, you know. And Fetterman, I'm pretty sure, too, that, you know, that he realized something was wrong with him. But maybe he just said, well, with the teleprompters, I'm not going to have a problem. I'll get by with it, or, you know, but it's sad in a lot of ways, and I'm going to tell you early voters, you know, they keep pushing that vote, vote, vote. But guess what? I don't think, well, though they were voting for a Democrat, I started to say I don't think you can withdraw your vote. But who knows with the way elections are going now. Maybe they have a special little crank down there that'll empty all the, yeah, right. Okay. Selwyn Duke's coming back, and he can wrap up on this one. And in a moment now, we're going to talk about the open border. And, very interesting story. And it goes way, way back to Selwyn Duke. It's selwynduke.com.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Hi, this is Fred Dwyer talking about my favorite Italian restaurant, Angelo's and Vinci's at 550 North Harbor Boulevard in downtown Fullerton. A fantastic place to eat. Come inside and dine in our Italian town square, complete with a 10-foot Christmas tree. That's right, 10 feet. Enjoy our food made from secret family recipes. Pasta, chicken, seafood, salads, and our delicious pizza. Incredible desserts, including my favorite, the tiramisu, flown directly in from Italy. Feel the spirit at Angelo and Vinci's, 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton, California. Call 714-879-4022 or visit angelosandvincis.com. That's angelosandvincis.com.
Do you want to fly somewhere, anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call MyFlightSearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call MyFlightSearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call myflightsearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call myflightsearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN, Chuck Wilder with Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, and his website, selwynduke.com. Been discussing this Pennsylvania Senate debate, the land of Oz, so to speak. And you say in your closing that you strongly suspect that Dr. Oz would win in an honest election. And I even more strongly suspect that Pennsylvania's contest will be anything but, and I was thinking, you know, Selwyn, if Fetterman wins this thing, you remember there's no such thing as voter fraud, okay? You got to remember that, right? Haven't we been learned that, so to speak?
Right.
What do you
Unless
think?
You're Stacey Abrams who loses a race, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Wow, I'll tell you. Let's go to this open border NAU plot. This is a very interesting
Well, before
thing.
I do that, Chuck.
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I just mention something about that last piece? Because we do want to emphasize how many ballots have been cast here, if you don't mind. You know, here's the problem. This is the problem with early voting. On Monday, as of Monday, the day before the debate, 1.5 million mail-in ballots had already been cast in Pennsylvania. That's 50% of the number that were distributed. Now, here's the thing. First of all, I have to tell you, I find it hard to believe that that many could come back so quickly and that they could all be legitimate. Okay, that's very, very hard to believe. But also, as you indicated, I mean, I really believe that Pennsylvania could be the state in the nation that has the worst problem with vote fraud in the Philadelphia area, maybe to a lesser degree in the Pittsburgh area. And I have to tell you something else. This is important for Republicans to understand. If you want to vote Republican, go in person. I was reporting on this a few years ago. We have had stories about postal workers who are inordinately Democrat. They're federal employees. Throwing away mail ballots from Republican areas, just discarding it. There are all sorts of shenanigans out there. You don't have to vote early. Go in there on election day, cast your vote like your grandfather did, because otherwise your vote may never be counted. And mail-in voting, Chuck, is the type of voting that's most susceptible to vote fraud. That's why it's been illegal in France since 1975. Okay? Let me tell you something. Our elections are anything but completely honest.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And look at the movie, 2,000 Mules, you know. It's hard to come about. Yeah, really. Boy, I'll tell you. It's and then, you know, and you have facial identification. See, that makes the whole thing so, what's the word, accurate. Yeah, a good word for it, yeah. Because facial identification was showing you how they were kept continually stuffing those mailboxes and stuff. Wow.
Unbelievable.
I know. Well, okay, let's got a couple of minutes for the break here. This open border is NAU plot to devaluate U.S. by importing crime, drugs, and cheap workers. And I'm going to tell you, this is another one of those disturbing things, but if you wonder, why is this happening? Well, Selwyn Duke is here to sort of iron it out, more or less. Take it away there, Selwyn. Got a couple of minutes for the break here.
Right. Yeah, well, you know, Chuck, we've had an open border for decades, and the problem now has gotten a lot worse under Biden. And you might say, well, why has the border never been secured after all these decades? Well, as I often say, can't lives on Won't Street. If they're not doing it, there's a reason for it. They don't want to do it. There's some explanation. Well, I'm going to give this fellow, this commentator, Frank Meehl, a hat tip for this. He pointed this out. In 2007, President G.W. Bush held this joint news conference with then-Mexican President Felipe Calderon. Okay, and here's what Bush said when he was recounting his work with Calderon. He said, quote, "We discussed ways to make our nation safer, nation singular." Note that. Okay, now he immediately did correct himself and say both nations safer. But the cat was out of the bag, as Meal put it. And you have to ask, was this just a slip of the tongue because Bush was a notoriously bad speaker? Or was it a Freudian slip that maybe revealed a hidden desire and perhaps, Chuck, maybe even a secret agenda? Well, I don't know, but more and more people are thinking all the time that it is some kind of secret agenda. This fellow Meal is one of them. He says, well, our southern border's collapse can't be an accident, and it's certainly not. And we've seen Kamala Harris actually claim the border is secure, even though illegal crossings have exploded to more than a million every single year, or at least this year and last year, I guess. And the point is that if people are lying, there's a reason for it, Chuck. They're covering something up. And what's going on here? Well, I point out.
Well, okay, and I'll tell you what.
Yeah, okay.
We're going to find out what they're covering up.
Yeah.
And it's going to make a lot of sense to you, because the one and only Selwyn Duke's going to lay it out for you. Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, and his website is selwynduke.com. We'll be right back.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
A long-suffering, perpetually enraged 5,000-year-old demigod from the ancient Near East is drawn into our modern world to free his people from foreign domination. But as played by Dwayne Johnson, Black Adam seems not to enjoy the process in the new movie based on the DC Comics.
My son sacrificed his life to save me. These powers are not a gift, but a curse. I kneel before no one.
The plot is almost impossible to follow, but the characters are intriguing and occasionally amusing. You can't avoid the impression, however, that the entire thing is just a setup for future installments of what they hope will be an extended franchise. Rated PG-13 for plenty of burning action and comic book violence. 2 stars for the adequate but hardly outstanding Black Adam.
Hello, everyone. Fred Dreyer here for Balance7.com. Do you suffer from low energy, acid reflux, heartburn, joint discomfort, or a weak immune system? Well, Balance 7 is your answer. Balance 7 dilutes the acid in your body and kickstarts your immune system. That's right. 3 sips a day is all you need. In 3 days, you will feel the difference. Balance 7 is my go-to drink to energize me every day. Stop taking those caffeinated, sugar-filled energy drinks. Balance 7. Works. Remember, a sick body is an acid body. So, cut the acid in your body with Balance 7. Go to Balance7.com or call 800-793-9039. Use the code word FRED to get $15 off your order and free shipping, plus a money-back guarantee. Man, you can't beat this. Call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. Or go to Balance7.com and don't forget the code word FRED.
You experiencing pain? Back pain, shoulder, elbow, or hand pain? Pain from a sports injury? If so, schedule a visit with Dr. Michael Sheps, the leading expert in laser therapy for pain management. Call 310-873-4422 or go to drsheps.com. Experience Epic T, the breakthrough laser therapy system that Dr. Sheps developed to make you pain-free in less time. Laser therapy is a non-invasive, safe, and effective in-office procedure that penetrates deep into your skin without damaging the tissue. It perfectly targets areas of pain to promote fast, natural healing. Relax your muscles, ease muscle spasms, joint stiffness, and arthritis pain while increasing blood circulation. For over 25 years, Dr. Sheps has helped Olympic athletes and sports enthusiasts alike get back in the game. Schedule your visit with Dr. Sheps at his Brentwood office in California. Call 310-873-4422 or visit drsheps.com. That's drsheps.com, 310-873-4422.
You order a glass of your favorite Cabernet, fresh asparagus, hollandaise on the side,
a filet, medium rare. You unfurl your napkin with a flair, close your eyes, and prepare to listen. Ah, there it is. The sweet music you long to hear. The sizzle. The sizzle of a Ruth's Chris steak.
The most magnificent corn-fed prime beef, broiled to perfection at 1,800 degrees. Some call it a sizzle. We call it an anthem.
As the waiter approaches, you think, is this one mine or that one?
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Like Ruth always said, life's too short to eat anywhere else.
Make a reservation online at RuthsChris.com or by calling 800-544-0808.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder here, CRN, with my guest Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American and SelwynDuke.com. As you mentioned, Kamala Harris swearing the border is secure. And this recent one that Selwyn reports on, he says upward to 1 million yearly, clearly, crossing the border. The Biden administration is lying. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Let's go on find out what's exactly going on here, all right? Because you know they're covering up on something.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's not just the pants that are on fire. Unfortunately, our country is on fire because of this ridiculous invasion that's being perpetuated by the Democrats, the left-wing lunatics. But what is the explanation? Because there's a reason for it. Kant lives on Wall Street. Well, one obvious motivation, Chuck, you and I have discussed for years, and that's that Democrats have long been importing voters. They know that when migrants sneak into our country, if they're allowed to stay for some years and they become settled, what's going to happen? Eventually, they're going to get amnesty. You can pretty much bet on it. And then upon being naturalized, historically, these people have voted Democrat by a 70 to 90% margin. Okay, now some people are hoping that's going to change. We'll have to see, but that's how it's been. But there could be a darker motivation as well. And I have to say I'm sympathetic to this point of view as well. Anyway, recently we had this revelation. I covered it not long ago, where the president of Mexico, Andres Obrador, known as AMLO, revealed that our Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, had told him in September that he believed in consolidating Mexico, the U.S., and Canada. Okay? That's what he said. And this whole thing, this idea is called the North American Union, Chuck, as you full well know. Right. It's patterned after the European Union, so don't think it's an unprecedented idea. They did that in Europe, and the left loves that. They think it's been remarkably successful, and they just love the idea of a consolidation of powers. So they want to do it here as well. And anyway, the theory goes that this huge influx of Mexicans and other foreigners across our southern border is just the first stage in the plan to create this North American Union. Okay, now understand that this is not a conspiracy theory that we're talking about here. This is a conspiracy fact, as someone I know well puts it. Okay, and the globalists themselves have made this very, very clear. Okay, it's not just what Bush said in 2007, but as this commentator I mentioned earlier, Frank Meehl, put it, I'm going to quote him now. He wrote, quote, Bush was an enthusiastic advocate of developing a strategic alliance between the U.S., Mexico, and Canada. Indeed, it was during a March 2005 summit at Bush's Texas Ranch that the leaders of the three countries agreed to create a security and prosperity partnership of North America. This was followed within 2 months by a Council on Foreign Relations white paper called Building a North American Community. The core of the proposal can be found in one sentence in the introduction that describes the shared mission of Mexico, Canada, and the United States. Quote, our economic focus should be on the creation of a common economic space that expands economic opportunities for all people in the region, a space in which trade, capital, and people flow freely. Unquote. Okay, now, this idea did not go away. It didn't disappear. As Meehl put it, it, quote, just went underground. And he's not joking at all. Because just recently, I pointed out something that Hillary Clinton said in 2013 that we didn't even know about until WikiLeaks revealed it in 2016. Now, listen to what she said and see if it sounds familiar. She said, quote, to bankers, Latin American bankers, my dream is a hemispheric common market with open trade and open borders sometime in the future, powering growth and opportunity for every person in the hemisphere. That is exactly what the Council on Foreign Relations said in their white paper, just in different words, rearranged a bit. So this is a common idea among these immigrationist, internationalist leftists. Okay, it's something that they just absolutely love, and they're not very original, that's for sure, but what they lack in creativity, yeah. Chuck, they make up for in repetitiveness.
And I want to tell you, anyway, someone that, yeah. that I constantly reminded people, and they kept saying, I don't know why you had to drill this in so much, about when Trump was elected. He was one of the few, if not maybe the only one that I can think of, that was not a member of the CFR that was president. The CFR, you know, you talk about, you know, the deep state and everything else. Part of the connection, Council on Foreign Relations. Go ahead.
Right. But, you know, the bigger picture, Chuck, is that Trump is not part of their network or their way of thinking at all. He doesn't
right.
share their philosophy. All these people are globalists. They're internationalists. They're immigrationists. Trump is not like that. Trump is a nationalist, and that's a big reason why they hate him. Why do you think they hate so much Viktor Orban, the president of Hungary? Because Hungary is a nationalist. I mean, if you look at the way our left-wing media and left-wing politicians talk about Orban, a democratically elected leader who puts his country first and really institutes the most sane policies imaginable, you'd think he was worse than Xi Jinping of China, or even Kim Jong-un of North Korea. That's the way they talk about this man. They call him a fascist, basically. And why? Because unlike Xi Jinping of China, he can't grease our politicians' palms. He can't buy off our pseudo-elites. So anyway, that helps explain why you see this invasion of the United States via the southern border. There are these people out there, like we said, Hillary Clinton and others, who want people flowing freely across borders. That's what they want, and they've already achieved it right now on our southern border. And what happens if this continues, and it's already occurring, of course? Well, you, as Meal put it, devalue the United States by importing crime, drugs, and cheap workers, so that when the North American Union is ultimately proposed, it will be more palatable. Okay, and then he wrote, after all, the cartels will already be controlling large swaths of both countries by then, and large streams of the U.S. economy will have been drained into Mexico. Okay, absolutely true. Look, they say, Chuck, demography is destiny, right? The Eastern European communists would sometimes move populations around. Now, why did they do that? Because if you do that, you break down national cohesion, group cohesion, and then revolts and resistance to your control are less likely. That's why you do that. If you're that kind of person, a statist who wants complete control, you want your society comprising atomized individuals who share only one commonality. Membership in your, quote, state. That's exactly what you want. Okay? Now, what's been happening in the United States? We've seen this invasion for decades, but it's not just that. We've seen a legal immigration regime, Chuck, that is absolutely insane because we have more than a million people coming here legally every year. The rate of immigration long ago exceeded the rate of assimilation. 85 to 90% of these individuals come from the third world, so they're not necessarily easy to assimilate to begin with. But the result of this is now our foreign-born population, Chuck, and this includes both legal and illegal individuals, is 47 million. That's about one out of every seven people in this country. This is a historical high for us. Never seen this before. This is more than any other nation on earth. It is staggering. And why do you think we see so many attacks upon the United States? Because our national cohesion is being broken down. You don't have a sense of being one nation anymore. Every year, fewer and fewer people in our country have a real sense of being American or really take pride in our nation. And that's one reason why I've long said, I know that people consider me a radical in this, but I've said, Chuck, We need to eliminate all immigration, not just illegal migration, because the bottom line is, like I said, long ago, the rate of immigration exceeded the rate of assimilation. We need to get our own house in order. We have a population of 330 million people. We don't need more people. We don't need to make the country more crowded. We don't need more workers, especially with robotics and artificial intelligence coming down the pike. You know, we hear that those things are going to be supplanting a large number of workers during the next couple of decades. No, we don't need any of this. And just to illustrate the point that I'm making here, in my article, I point out something that a respondent, a reader, wrote to me years ago. He said he was a teacher, and he was teaching some Mexican descent students American history. And you know what their response was? This is close to verbatim. Quote, "We don't care about this," they said. "We're Mexican." Okay. And this is what happens, whether it happens purposely or accidentally, when you flood your nation with people who just come here for a better life, as they put it. Because let me tell you something. Just coming here for a better life, that's a euphemism. That's a way of saying they're just coming here for money. And I'm sorry. We need people who want to be American, and they're hard to find nowadays because the American spirit is a very, very rare thing, Chuck. Where are you going to find such people? In Sweden, the Swedes are as left-wing as they come. In Germany, the Germans are statists. In South America, the South Americans vote for socialists. Where are you going to find people who epitomize that true American spirit? It's a rare thing. When our founding fathers came together and created this republic, it was a seminal point in history and something unprecedented. You had a large number of very unusual individuals, Chuck, all come together in the same time and place. It's a very rare thing. And that's why Ben Franklin said, a republic if you can keep it. We gave you a republic, but can you perpetuate it? Because he understood how rare it is and how the norm is for civilizations to gravitate towards tyranny. And that's what's happening. And this North American Union scheme is a big part of that. And our open border, like we've illustrated, is a big, big part of that. It really is.
At the end of this, you talk about the John Birch Society. And I remember, you know, before I really got involved in talk radio, you know, I would hear negative things about the John Birch Society. You know what I mean? It was like, oh, they must be doing something wrong. And I was probably just too lazy to really check it out. But they're working right now, as you mentioned in this article, to expose and stop this North American Union. And you can go to jbs.org. Is that the website?
Yes.
Yeah. And they have action projects, and you've got some links for it and everything. A lot of people just, you know, they don't know what's going on unless they're listening to great reports like yours, you know. And I remember on the American history thing about, you know, that right now there is this whole thing about, we don't really want to teach about American history, and you probably heard me talk about this story before when it first really made some headlines. They were talking about, don't talk about Americans landing on the moon. We were the first to land on the moon, because you have other children in the class that are not diehard Americans, you know, and they feel bad because their country wasn't the first. Isn't that amazing how you want to wipe out history so that you don't offend somebody that came from a country that didn't do some great things like your country did? It's just, wow.
And, it's striking,
and it
Chuck.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, and no civilization that wants to perpetuate itself and be prosperous is going to proceed in this manner. This is insane. This is not done in Japan. This is not done in Russia. It's not done in China. Those places tend to be gung-ho nationalistic, especially Russia and China. This is insane. We should take the utmost pride in our Western culture because it is the greatest culture that has ever graced this planet. It's not even close, starting with ancient Greece, going up through Rome, and then Western Europe, so on and so forth. We founded this great country. And by the way, I heard someone say recently, no, that's not true, that European peoples founded America, blah, 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 because the American Indians were here first. No, that's not the correct perspective. And you know why? It's very simple. America itself is a European word and a European concept. It comes from the Italian explorer Amerigo Vespucci. The United States is an American name, an American concept, an American European, I'm sorry, European nation. It was created by 56 European descent men, I think that was the number anyway, who came together, our founding fathers, to create it. That doesn't mean that other people can't be part of it, but it does mean that the truth is this is one of the fruits of Western culture, and it's use it or lose it, that old principle. If we're going to lose pride in our culture, then we're not going to be able to perpetuate it. We're teaching kids that the United States and Western culture are misbegotten entities. If they believe that, why should they take pains to preserve these things? They're not going to do that. You know, if you tell someone, Chuck, that some dish is not a delicacy, but is some horrible thing, what are people going to do? They're going to forget the recipe. They're going to throw it away. And then they can't recreate it. And that's exactly what's happening to us. It's disgusting.
Wow. You know, I learn little bits of history all the time when I have the great opportunity to have you on. So we could be saying the United States of Poochie, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, by the way, I should add one more thing. I'm sorry to be so disjointed, but I was mentioning how America and the United States were European concepts. Well, let me point out, just to cement that point, some years back, Barack Obama wrote this book of, quote, great Americans. And in there, he had some great Indian figure. I don't know if it was Sitting Bull. I can't tell you, or Crazy Horse. But anyway, one of the descendants of that individual chimed in and said, wait a second, that's not accurate, because that Indian figure didn't consider himself to be American. He would have told you that's not true. And that is accurate, what that fellow said. The American Indians consider themselves to be Sioux or Cherokee or Apache or Seminole or whatever the case might have been. They didn't consider themselves to be Americans. No, America, again, is a European word and a European concept. That's where it came from, Western civilization.
Yes, and I hope you're taking notes, because I'm trying to take as many as I can here, you know, Pat. All the research you have, you know, and most of it is up there in his brain, listener. I'm talking about Selwyn Duke. I am correct on that, right? It's not all on novels and books and papers. Nope.
That's correct.
He's got it stored right there. All right.
I think my brain needs to be defragmented, though.
Not much time to talk about the next one, but guess what? That booster doesn't necessarily work. We'll just let Selwyn touch on it there, okay? Selwyn Duke. It's selwynduke.com, S-E-L-W-Y-N, duke.com.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
Do you want to fly somewhere, anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call MyFlightSearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call MyFlightSearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call myflightsearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder, CRN, with Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, selwynduke.com. And here's another article that they just don't want you to hear about. CDC head Walensky gets highly publicized COVID booster and then gets COVID. Go ahead, got a few minutes on this. Selwyn, another one of those that come out that tells the truth.
Yeah, absolutely. Excuse me. Anyway, the CDC director is Rochelle Walensky, another political appointee, although she is a doctor. Anyway, you know what she said last year, Chuck? She said, quote, vaccinated people do not carry the virus. Don't get sick. And then guess what happened? Just recently, she got a COVID, quote, vaccine. She contracted the virus and got sick. So we've seen this over and over and over again. And, you know, we hear that she was experiencing mild symptoms, but COVID now doesn't pack the punch it used to. It is milder. I mean, my 93-year-old mother about 2 months ago contracted COVID, and she had some symptoms, but no hospital stay. She didn't take any drugs, and she was fine. So anyway, the point is that they're pushing these genetic therapy agents that they call vaccines, but at the end of the day, we know they do not stop transmission or contraction of the virus. And the bottom line is that, you know, they want to foist now these genetic therapy agents on kids. The CDC, as you know, Chuck, is thinking about putting it on its schedule of vaccines for children. And that's just absolutely inexcusable. Inexcusable. We know, and I've said this on your show before, that children are not imperiled, never were, by this virus. There was a study in Germany analyzing 15 months of the pandemic there. Now, Germany is a country of 83 million people, understand. And how many children died of COVID? This was before the vaccines, when COVID was more severe, died of COVID during those 15 months, healthy kids? Zero. Zero. So, you know, the truth is that these so-called vaccines never performed as billed, and we're also seeing now tremendous vaccine regret. I mean, we're not going to get to it, but I wrote another article recently about this British cardiologist who was a proponent of the vaccines, and then his father died after taking one of them, had a heart attack, even though his heart health had previously been great. So we're seeing more and more of the truth coming out that these vaccines have terrible side effects, they don't perform as billed, and I wouldn't touch them with a 10-foot pole, Chuck.
And then we'll go to a couple of other experts. Let's see, there was Dr. Anthony Fauci, right? You say the face of America's pandemic response. And there was also U.S. Health Secretary Xavier Becerra, and they both tested positive for COVID in June. Yeah.
And, yeah, you know, after being vaccinated, supposedly. Yeah.
And telling everybody, you know, you've got to get the booster, or you're killing people if you don't get the booster. Oh, wow. I'll tell you. Selwyn. Sometimes I think we ought to do about 2 hours, you know, but I would never take that much advantage away from you there, sir.
Now, always a pleasure.
I would, too. Yes, I would, yes. Hey, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Look forward to our next visit.
Thank you, Chuck. God bless.
All right. God bless you. Hey, thank you very much, Jeremy Dayton. And thank you for listening. And God bless the United States of America.